Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
What I want to start teaching about from today, and this will go on for the next many episodes of this program, is what we call the will of God. Now, this is a very interesting topic because it's something that a lot of people come asking every time. How do I know God's will? How do I know God's will for my life? What do I do in this situation? And that thing would be the will of God. And people oftentimes ask questions about that. For that reason, I believe it's very important and appropriate at this time to discuss that topic. How do I know God's will for my life? Now, there are no simple steps to doing all these things in life. And you see, one of the things people like is that they want you to give them steps. 5 steps to do. So by the time you do this, do that, and the fifth, after taking the fifth step, you will have discovered the will of God. Now, really, it doesn't work like that. Do you understand my point? Life does not work like that. There is a procedure for everything, but that procedure is not step 1, 2, 3. There are spiritual procedures which a man, a woman has to imbibe into his or her spirit, and the manifestations of those procedures come out spontaneously in that life. What am I saying? And what I want to do so that you can learn how to walk in God's will for your life is to explain a number of issues about the will of God. And if you imbibe all of them, all the truths that I will share from the Word of God in this series, then you will find yourself walking absolutely all the time in the will of God. Do you understand that point? And let me quickly start by saying that it is possible to be in the will of God at all times. It is not something that is difficult. It is not something that is impossible. In fact, I have a few testimonies to explain that. This man, before he died, shortly before he died, Lester Sumrall said that for the last 60 years, he cannot remember being out of the will of God once. Now, you have to understand, that's a very powerful statement, and it was not being spoken by an idle man. Now, those words were spoken by a man who had influenced his generation, who knew what he was saying. The same thing was said by Derek Prince. I was listening to his message, which he preached sometimes in the 80s or early 90s, and he was talking about the same thing. And he said that for many decades, he cannot remember when last he walked out of the will of God. And that those things are true. The men are not bragging. They were not men that love to brag. I read the last sermon, the transcript of the last sermon that was preached by Theodore Epp. Theodore Epp was known for having been on, he had a radio broadcast that ran for decades called Back to the Bible. He was teaching a graduating class of Bible school students, and he told them that this is the last time I am going to ever give a public sermon. And he said that, I want to say like Paul, I have fought the fight, I have kept the faith, I have finished my course, that there remains only for me now a crown of glory that God has reserved for me. Do you know, a few days later, the man just slept and he died? What am I trying to say here? I'm trying to explain that it is possible to walk in the will of God. It is not difficult. It is not difficult. You have to bear that in mind. Don't make it look like it's something that is difficult. Because one thing I have found out with people sometimes is that, in fact, I remember a friend of mine. I was preaching to another of our friends, and he was there. And he said the reason why he's not willing to repent is because he knows he will go back to sinning. Now, that is a lie. It is because he loves sin, and he's afraid to pull out of it entirely. Just to digress, I remember a number of my colleagues when I was a house officer. One of them said that he does not believe in God. And I looked at him, I said, you are lying. I know you believe in God. That your problem is that you love the deeds of darkness. You like to date many women. You like to live a free life. You like to live in immorality. And if you acknowledge the existence of God, if you acknowledge the fact that God is a creator who rules over all this earth, then you have to pull out of your works. And you are not willing to pull out of your works. So you say that I do not believe in God. That's what Jesus was saying, that men love darkness. You understand? That is why they refuse to come out into the light. You understand what I want to say? That is, if anybody tells that it is not possible to walk in God's will, the person is lying. He's actually enjoying walking out of the will of God. I'm giving this as an encouragement to those who want to walk in the will of God. It is possible. It is not hard. And first point we'll make today is that God indeed has a will for your life. That is a fact. Now, let me start with that. Number one, God has a will for your life. That is a fact. And now, listen to this. That will existed before you. You were born to conform to the will of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That it is not as if you get to a point and you want to go and find out what will be good in God's eyes at this particular point in time. No, this is the way it is. Before you were born, God looked ahead of time and said, this is what is going to happen in life. And he formed you to fit into his purpose. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, the will of God existed before you. The will of God did not come after you. It existed before you. That is why what you need is to conform yourself to that thing that was before you. That is, it's not as if, what would be the good thing to do? The will of God is not like that. The will of God is something that was written. I think we should, at this point in time, look into Psalm 40. Now, Jesus quoted this later about himself. In fact, this is a prophetic word about Jesus Christ. And he was explaining something here. Psalm 40, verse 6. He said, sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. He said, burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Notice this. Before I came, there was something written in the volume of the books. That's how King James puts it, about me. Before I came, something had been written about my life. If you read from Psalm 139, the same principle is expounded here by David. He said that before there was any of the days of my life, God, all my days had been written in thy book. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? That is the will of God in verse 8 here of Psalm 40. He said, I delight to do your will, O my God. And he was saying that this will in verse 7 was written before I came. He said, behold, I come. You know, I am coming to do that which has already been written. So let me explain this to you. Your life has been written before you were born. Your life was documented. And like we explained some time ago when we were talking about God's plan for your destiny, or the divine plan for your destiny, I explained that your life was written before you were born, but the fact that it was written, it does not mean that you cannot walk out of that which was written. God has a will for your life. The devil also has a will. That's what we're explaining. That God's will was written before you were born. But it does not mean that anybody born will automatically walk in that which was written. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, the doctrine of predestination does not mean that whatever will become of my life has been determined and there is nothing I can do about it. No. A will is something that somebody desires. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, what God wrote is his desire and his plan for your life. It is not that he will force you to walk in it even though you do not want to walk in it. Are you getting my point? That is, your mistakes are your problem. They are not God's design. Are you getting my point? Your sin, they are your decisions, not God's design. It is not as if God decided that I must walk in sin and then at a point in time repent. No, it is just that if you repent at any point in time, God is able to bring you back into his will and wipe away your past. And that is in fact the doctrine behind the power of the blood of Jesus. The ability to wipe away the period in which we walked out of the will of God and return us into God's will as if we have always walked in it. Do you understand what I want to say here? That is what the blood of Jesus does. He wipes off every handwriting that has been written against you. Now, it's not as if they were written unjustly. No. If they were written unjustly, it would have been a different matter. They were written justly because you did those things. But when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he now takes his blood and wipes away everything that you did walking out of the will of God. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? So I'm explaining here, God has a will for your life. That will was written before you were ever born. And your purpose in life is to walk in conformity to the will that God documented before you were born. I hope you understand that point. That is number one. We have to understand that very clearly. Remember, Jesus said in Psalm 40 here, he said, I come to do that which was written ahead of time. Now, having said that, the next point I want to make is that that will of God is good. Now, for this, I'd like to read from the book of Romans, chapter 12. Paul said, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. He said, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me quickly explain this. God has a will. We have said that. I believe that we have understood it. Next point, we said that God's will is good. This is what it means. Now, Paul was explaining something here, that you have to understand how to test and know what the will of God is. That is, the will of God is one thing. Do you understand that, what I'm trying to say there? And he said that what will of God is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. Now, sometimes people misunderstand this scripture, and they say there are three kinds of the will of God. There is the good will of God, there is the acceptable will of God, and there is the perfect will of God. Now, that is not so. Please, what God was expressing by the hands of Paul here is that I have a will for your life. That will is good. You understand what I'm saying? He said that will is good for you. That will bless your life. That will give to you things better than what you could have ever desired. That will bring satisfaction to your soul. Jesus said something once, if you go and read John chapter 4, when he met the woman by the well, the Samaritan woman. After discussing with the woman and blessing the woman with the word of God, the disciples who had gone to look for food for him came back and said, "Master, eat." And he said, "I am no longer hungry." So they said that, "Did somebody give him something to eat while we were not around?" And he now explained to them that, "Indeed, I ate something when you were not around. But that thing was not physical food." He said, "My nourishment is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." That is, when I do the will of God, he gives me the same satisfaction as if you had given me food. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, there is a satisfaction you give a man. Maybe you give him a million naira. He becomes very excited and he becomes very happy. He said, if I do God's will, I get the same kind of satisfaction. If I may just digress at this point in time and explain it again further. See, in life, what we are really pursuing after is satisfaction. Believe me what I'm trying to say. What we are really looking for is satisfaction in life. It's a man who is laboring to get money. It is not money per se he's looking for, but what money will bring to him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It is not money per se he's looking for. It is that thing that money will bring to him. A man who is laboring to get maybe a very beautiful car, it is not the car he's looking for, but the satisfaction that it brings to him. That is why you see people, sometimes they seem to become insane in their pursuit of acquisition of material things. And you wonder, has this man gone crazy? Look at it. He has bought 15 cars in the last 3 years. What is he doing with all the cars? Let me tell you what his problem. His problem is that he has not yet attained satisfaction and is trying to acquire more, believing that the more he gets, the more likely he is to become satisfied. And each time he gets one, he gets satisfaction for a period of time. And then that satisfaction wears off. And you get what I'm trying to say? So he goes to get another one, like a drug addict looking for their next fix. Are you getting what I'm trying to say in all these things I'm saying? And you see, but Jesus said that the truth is that satisfaction only comes from doing the will of God. One, you know, let me tell you something about this contemporary life. I believe it's the devil. You know, Satan has blinded the eyes of men. He has redirected their efforts. God places some things in your heart so that he will force you to discover God. Do you understand my point? Let me tell you something about hunger. The feeling of hunger is to maintain your flesh, really. What I mean is that God left hunger in you so that if you don't eat, you will know you have not eaten and you'll go and get food and then you'll become satisfied and your flesh will be rejuvenated. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, there is a hunger that God has placed in your soul for God. Are you getting it? And you see, you begin to find dissatisfaction in many things you are doing in life until you discover God that can fit that place in your life. But you know what Satan has done? He has begun to give people alternative explanations. One day I was watching on CNN, Larry King Live, and a man was being interviewed, a very prominent musician, but I can't remember his name now. Very rich man, very wealthy, very famous. Now, but the man was an alcoholic. He used to drink all the time. Drink in the morning, wake up during the night to drink. He always drank. Why? He's an alcoholic. So he had a brush with the law. So he got arrested. That's when they found out that this man is an alcoholic. So they sent him to the hospital to go and have himself treated. Now, he was not telling us in that interview what they told him. And I said, God, they have lied to this man. He said, they explained that the reason why he's an alcoholic is because there is something in his brain that does not quickly derive satisfaction. So, that is why he keeps on taking alcohol, that other people achieve satisfaction faster when they are drinking than people like him. So, people like him have a higher threshold before they acquire satisfaction. So, he needs to take more alcohol. So, they are trying to explain to him his reason why he's an alcoholic. And I told myself, they have lied to this fellow. I'm a scientist, don't think I don't know what they are saying. They lied to him. When I say lie, now lie doesn't mean they try to deceive him. There are two reasons why you can lie to somebody. You can lie because you want to deceive the person, or you can lie because you have been deceived already yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying? These people were obviously deceived. They did not know God. Therefore, they were confusing this man. What am I saying? The man simply is an alcoholic because there is a satisfaction in his soul that only doing the will of God can bring to him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Doing the will of God is the only thing that can bring that satisfaction to his soul. But he, not having discovered God, went to alcohol. That is why you see a lot of men who are really, really wealthy, they go into cocaine. You see, men, this I have known, it's very common. Men get up, now they have made money. They think, it's as if they are competing with themselves on the number of women they can conquer. You know their problem? Lack of satisfaction. He tries, after some time, maybe he has finished with these kinds of women. Yes, satisfaction eludes him. So he goes for another kind. And he revels, that's one thing about human beings. They come to your faces and try to justify what they are doing. They want to make themselves feel good, like, look, I am enjoying. The reality is that the man is confused, he is lost, he does not know what's happening to his life, and he's just deceiving you. The reality is that he's pursuing after something that you already have. That's why you are not going his way. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The other day I was listening to a message and the preacher was talking about one man, Peter Daniels, very wealthy man, very wealthy man. A man who his mission in life, he has two missions in life. He's a servant of God, a businessman. He said one is to see how much money a man can give out, not how a man can make. I was reading his story. He did some things that to me bordered on insanity. But don't forget something about insanity. There are two groups of people that look insane. Either men who are really insane or men who trust God too much. Both of them may appear insane. This guy, he built a vast company and gave out all the money. Then borrowed money on the whole company and gave it out again, and he never went broke. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said his second agenda in life is to affect this world for 300 years. That is, he will do something on the earth that for the next 300 years, the effect will still be felt. Now, what am I saying? The man said he has only one pair of shoes and one car. Are you following my point? We are talking about a billionaire here. He has one car and one pair of shoes. Do you know why he's not running after cars? He's satisfied. So he just needs a car at a time to move around. He's not competing with anybody. There is satisfaction in his soul. He's in the center of the will of God. It's not because he's wealthy, because the man, his quest in life is to give out money. He's always trying to give out money. The only record he's keeping is how much money can a human being give out in a lifetime. You understand? The guy has only one pair of shoes and the man has only one car. When he started of that car, he probably buy another one, but he never has more than one car at one point in time. Do you know why? He is satisfied. A car cannot make him more satisfied than he currently is. The man is contented being in the center of the will of God. Are you getting my point? What's really driving people in life is the quest for that thing. The man tries alcohol, he's not satisfied. He goes after women, he's not satisfied. He goes into drugs, he's not satisfied. There's one American football star, then a basketball star. I was looking at his life, I said, this man, please, somebody tell him what he needs is Jesus Christ. Jesus, you know what he does for you? He draws satisfaction in your soul. You suddenly sit down and say, what am I even pursuing after? Nothing. So you now turn to your master, the Lord Jesus himself, and say, what do you want me to do? So he gives you an assignment. And anytime you are doing that assignment, you are happy. That is why people like David Livingstone could come to Africa, leave the comforts of their homes, and never have any feeling of deprivation. Why? Because they have satisfaction on Jesus. And it's that satisfaction that was pressing them into life, pushing them in the things they are doing. They were not doing things to become satisfied. They were already satisfied before they began to do it. Are you getting my point? So we're talking about the will of God. So God said, that will for your life is good. My will for your life is good. It will remove the drive for the things you are running after. You follow what I'm going to say? My will for your life will give you satisfaction. Then you will do things not because you are empty, but because you are full. And you have become a servant of the Most High God, going about impacting your generation. He said, you have heard of Jesus Christ, how God anointed him, and he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Are you getting my point? That is, he was going around trying to bless somebody. I hope you are getting the principle that I'm going to say here. So he said, the will of God is good. The will of God also, he said, is acceptable. That is, you will enjoy doing it, like we've been explaining. You will find that it is the only thing really that you can do. And walking in God's presence, you will be walking in a manner pleasing to God. Are you getting my point? And he said that will also is perfect. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, it is not as if you can either choose between the good will of God, the acceptable will of God, or the perfect will of God. No, there is nothing like that. The will of God is one thing. Paul said that you might prove that which the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. He didn't break it down. It's just one thing. Good, acceptable, and perfect. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? What have I explained today? One, God has a will for your life. And that will is good. There is nothing better. Listen to me on this. You can never wish something better for yourself than the one that God has planned for you. It is not possible. It's like you buy an electronic equipment made by Sony. Sony say, use this thing on a voltage of 220 volts. No matter how much you feel powerful as a power company, you say, I am able to give you 500 volts. You will spoil it. You didn't make it. No matter how much you feel you have to manage, then let's give it only 50 volts. It will not work. You know why? You did not make it. You can never wish for that equipment better than the manufacturer has wished for it. He said, give it 220 volts. You will do the equipment good. You will do the equipment in an acceptable manner and in a perfect fashion if you give it 220 volts. What am I saying? You're running up and down in life. Will never bring you the thing you are really looking for. This is the deception of Satan. He tells men, look, do you want water? They say, yeah. He said, run to Sahara Desert. And they start running to Sahara Desert from Lagos looking for water. Meanwhile, the ocean is behind them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is the deception of Satan. But what God is saying is this. He said, oh, that you will have hearkened unto me, then your well-being will have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. That's Isaiah chapter 48, verse 18. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say here. The will of God, we said, is good. There is nothing better that you can run after in life than the will of God. You get my point? And let me just quickly introduce this before I close. Now we'll continue in this will of God next episode also. But I want to add this one to you before we go. Now, Jesus spoke at the point in time, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except by me. I said something earlier as I was speaking just now. I said that you were created for a particular purpose. God wrote a will for you to walk in before you were born. If you read from Psalm 139, he said that, thou didst form my inward parts. I will give thanks to thee because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. What was he saying there? That God was the one that made my inward parts. You know what he mean by inward parts? Listen to this. If you buy a TV, what you see outside is the television as it works. But if a technician were to open it, he will see inside it the things that make it work, the things that make it tick, like they say. Are you getting my point? Those are the things that are called the inward part. Now, until you furnish the proper electricity and tune the TV in such a manner to conform with the structure of the inward part, you can never get the full function of that TV. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So, David was saying that God made you like that. And he that formed your inward parts knows what you were meant to do. It will be a real problem to open your TV to stop your tomatoes. Why? It is not the refrigerator. It does not have a compressor. The inward parts are not for cooling anything. Are you getting my point? You will not try to use your television to make ice cubes. It does not have the inward parts for it. That's what I'm saying. When you want things like that, you go for a freezer. It has the inward parts that makes it function in a manner that it can cool your stuff. Are you getting my point? Now, this is a problem with life. A lot of people that God made to be televisions have become fridges. They are carrying tomatoes inside them. They are carrying fruits, trying to keep them. Are you getting my point? And the things are just spoiling every time they put their hands to it. Do you know why? They are working perfectly out of the will of God. I hope you are following what I'm going to say. Now, a lot of us have worked like that. That's why Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. What am I explaining here? That the conversion back to what we are supposed to be. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the only one that can introduce you to the purpose of God for your life. Without me, you are lost. You are permanently lost. Listen, I've always said this.
The gospel of Jesus is not about joining a church. The gospel of Jesus is not about what is in vogue. The gospel of Jesus is not about going around saying, I'm a Christian. The gospel of Jesus is about returning you to the center of the will of God for your life. Without which, we said, you can never attain satisfaction. Without it, we said, you can never be happy. Without it, you will be spending your energy, the Bible says, for that which does not satisfy. Are you getting the point I'm making there? That is what Jesus is. That is what the blood of Jesus is about. To wipe away the records of your life that was lived out of the will of God so that you can return back to the center of God's will and have a fruitful and productive life. So that at the end of the days, at the end of your life, it will be said, just like it was said about Abraham, that he was an old man and he was satisfied with life. You know, he said, Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man and satisfied with life, and he was gathered to his people. I like that expression. That is, a man lived life in the will of God, and by the time he was through, he had indeed impacted his generation. That's what we're explaining, that is the purpose for Jesus Christ. That was why he came. And I'm telling everybody listening to me that without him, your life amounts to nothing. Are you getting my point? That you need to believe in Jesus. And at this point in time, you pray and say, Lord, forgive me of my past. Erase the records of my walking out of your plan, your will for my life. And reinstate me back into the center of that will. So I desire to serve you from today on so that I will die as an old man, full of life, having affected my generation, full and satisfied. I hope you understand what I've said so far. Amen.
In this series, here are more words from Pastor Banky.
After the death of Jesus Christ and the introduction of that power of the resurrection of Jesus, which is what we call Christianity, God has left the realm of divination. You do not go to somebody now to pray or to cast a pellet and tell you what the mind of God is. That season has passed. The Bible said that in these days he speaks in his Son. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is the breath of the Spirit of Christ into you that launches you into the will of God at all times. The will of God is that which God wrote before you were born, and which God formed your inward parts to fit, and which God wrote that your everyday life should fit. He was not doing it primarily to fit what you feel good about. He did not do that to fit what would be popular. He did not write it to fit what you would just like to do naturally. He just wrote it according to his perfect plan and according to his pleasure. That is, God said, this is pleasing in my sight. And that is what defines God's will. That which is pleasing in God's sight. The mind, the heart that really desires to know the will of God, will find it easy. The ones that find it hard are those that really do not want to confront God's will. The most important thing that hinders people from knowing God's will and walking in God's will is idols. The prayer you need to pray is that God search me and remove idols from my heart. Because the will of God, I told you, is very simple. If you don't have idols, preconceived ideas, mindsets that are opposing the standard of the word of God, that's what we call idols. The labor you have to walk into God's will actually is to remove those idols from your heart. Once the idols are not there, you will find yourself walking automatically in the will of God. Solomon says something. He said, this also I have discovered, that God made men upright, but they sought out many devices. That is, men will have found themselves walking automatically in the will of God, except that they have sought out many devices. What God is saying is this. The will of God is not marriage. Who do I marry? Car, which one do I buy? Business, which one do I do? No, it's a whole life. And inside that life, there will be marriage, there will be business, there will be car.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to www.kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.